Welcome to the Brian Beebe Half Hour Variety Hour. It's really 15 minutes of fun, music, and laughter stretched out into something much, much longer. And now, here's your host, Brian Beebe.
I'm bringing you a love that's true. Get ready, get ready. Start making love to you. Get ready. What's that? I hear something playing.
I got it.
Ready, get ready, here I come. Here I come. All right, there's a little bit of a thing in the phones here. Just a minute. I don't remember which one was mine. But, one. We got to get the spray and get on here.
Are you just hearing it on the piano? There you go. This is the channel.
Hey, everybody. Welcome once again to Madison. Or MadisonTalks.com. We're downtown, four blocks from the square, doing our podcast again. And I hope you're telling friends about it. I hope we call in today. I'm Brian Beebe, and I'm sponsored once again by Monk's Bar and Grill all over Wisconsin. Family, food, and fun. Sports, big time. At Monk's all over the place. And then you got Sorrento's at the Wilderness up in the Dells. The Wilderness is the big 700-room resort, kind of just off the interstate. You got Kalahari there, and then the next one is the Wilderness. And we're attached to that, and I play there four nights a week, piano and vocals, and I sing old songs. I have a couple of requests. I'm going to sing. I got my keyboard back, and it wasn't easy to bring back. It's very heavy. It's very heavy. It was a group effort carrying it back down the stairs. But we can leave it here for a while, so that's good. Anyway, we're talking about a number of things, but I you might have noticed I've got my son here. My first son, Robin, Rob Beebe, is here, and he evacuated from Hurricane Irma from the beach down by Clearwater. And boy, it was a tough decision to make because he really thought about it for a long time. They went to higher ground from where he lives and decided to make that go, and then at the last minute changed his mind. He went up through Alabama, and there was plenty of gas, and it was pretty smooth sailing. And he came up, what day was it now, man?
Monday.
And everything's going good, but now he's got to figure out a way to get back down there. And, his place, oddly enough, a block from the beach, had power and no flooding. But nearby, right across the bridge in Seminole, Florida, they haven't had power for...
Three, 4, 5 days.
Yeah. And they don't know about the flooding, but we've talked to a lot of friends down there that have it way worse than we did. And it feels like, I don't know, God or luck or something, because we continually end up getting spared by these hurricanes and bad, bad storms down there.
There's a theory that the Indian burial mounds have something to do with it, too.
Oh, really? Yours?
Some people say that. There's like the Indians...
Under you?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. It keeps it clear, huh? But, you know, that area has had hurricanes. John's Pass was cut through by a hurricane in 1900 or something, 1901.
Yeah, the last bad one was like 1927 or something.
Yeah. They do seem to go, when they get into the Gulf, they go straight up to... Louisiana or straight across to Texas, and they don't often curl back across, but this one didn't get out into the Gulf much at all. It went straight up the from Cuba up the peninsula of Florida,
straight up the middle.
Yeah, and I don't want to particularly talk about the storm anymore because everybody's a little tired of the storm. I mean, we're tired of the storm and the coverage of it. It's just one thing after another. There's been 50 people killed Most of them were down in the Bahamas, but still, and there's going to be a lot more. I mean, this is going to be so much damage. We won't be able to even catch up with it. I wanted to tell you a couple stories about hurricanes gone by in the St. Pete area. And the one down in that wiped off the southern tip of Florida, Homestead, back Hurricane Andrew in 1992. But call in. Let's change the subject. We can talk about whatever you want to do. I want to talk about it. The number here is 608-210-1667. Somebody's on the phone, Mike. Who is it? Mike Brockenfeld answering the phone in there.
George gives us a call.
Okay. Hey, George. How are you, man?
Hey, if I was any better, I'd be illegal, man, especially after getting to talk to my favorite musician.
I know I'd go from rags to riches.
I love it.
You would always say you care. Hello, George. How are you, man?
Well, it's just wonderful, except I'd be better if I could get up to the dang Dells to Sorrento's to get at your bar.
There's no reason why you can't. You have all the money.
Monopoly money.
No, we have researched you, man. We found out that what's the real story about George. Yeah, you have all the money.
Yeah, okay, more than Trump, huh?
Yeah. Well, no.
Not about that.
Well, we don't know how much he's got, so maybe you do.
Well, I don't want to get it political here, but I was working, and I saw you show up on Facebook. And there you are with your bodyguard. Now you're so popular, you got to have a bodyguard, this big guy next to you, man.
No,
wow.
That's my son, Rob. He's he's a big boy, but he's in shape. He's not one of these guys, you know. He goes to the gym and works.
He's a good-looking guy. I'm just saying, aren't they a blessing? From a dad to dad.
He looks a lot more like his mother than he does.
Thank God. So that's why he's good-looking.
Yeah, right.
Oh, hey. You got grandkids from him yet? Is he producing any grandkids?
No, you know what? He's been dragging his feet a little bit.
Oh, God.
But that's okay. I'm not ready to be. Yeah, I'm step-grandpa already, but I'm not really.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, that works. Yeah.
So there's no excuse, George. I mean, it's only a 40-minute drive,
and the food's good. And it is the best time.
Yeah.
Brian, it is the best time to be had. Maybe in the whole state, you know. I mean, I do like going to Fireside Dinner Theater down in Fort Lot. Yeah. And
what can I play for you, man? Let me play something.
Oh, do
something. The good life.
Oh, yes.
Full of fun seems to be the ideal.
The human jukebox, man. You know,
the good. It sounds like a circus act, doesn't it? The human jukebox. Bunking with the human torch. You feel you won't really fall in love, because you won't take the chance. So please be honest with yourself. Don't try to. Like the heartaches when you learn you must face them alone. Please remember, I still want you. And in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss the good life goodbye.
Oh, man. Thank you, buddy.
I don't know what that song means, but it's pretty.
You rock star!
I'm really played that for your wife. You have a very pretty wife.
Hey, man!
I don't know how you did that, but
You think this is all my big fat gut, but this uncoiled. Hey. Hey, Brian, you know, I was on a Robert Goulet kick, I think, a couple weeks ago when I called you, and you did some Goulet, who I love, right?
Yeah.
And you're as handsome as he was,
If ever I would leave you.
That was
a good show. I'm glad you called and got that.
Well, and then now the other one I'm hooked on now is Raycon of Singers. Do you remember them?
I know
a lot of people think they're elevator music, but I love their arrangements and stuff, Brian.
They didn't have any hits of their own. They did everybody else's songs.
But I remember
the Raycon of Singers for sure. I'm a little embarrassed to hear you say that you like them. If you're a Tony Bennett fan and a Robert Goulet fan, there's no way you're supposed to be also a fan of Ray Conniff.
You know who taught me to sing, though? You know I sing at weddings and stuff like that?
No, I never heard that.
I sing. Andy Williams taught me how to sing.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. The guy, he's passed now, but...
Yeah.
Yep.
Personally?
Yep. Moon River.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Moon River,
wider than a mile. I'm crossing you in style someday.
Hey, George. Yeah, always a pleasure talking to you, man.
Yes, same here. I just was so excited that I'll let you go. And welcome your son back to Wisconsin.
Yeah,
he's from Florida, isn't he?
He's not staying very long, but he's a.
He should stay with his dad a long time.
He's got to get back to Florida. He's got a job. They told him to come back to work. So anyway.
I'd like to meet him in person someday. Yeah, see you, boys.
Yeah.
Be good.
Say hello to George in the camera there. Yeah.
What's up, Georgie?
You kind of met him now. I mean, that's all I ever get from him is hello and goodbye from a distance. Hey, George, thanks for calling in, man.
Yeah.
You made my day.
Oh, you make my day. You make everybody's day, so it should go the other way. See ya.
See you, man. Who's on the phone, Mike?
Dawn. Do you remember me, Brian?
Hello, Dawn.
Hello.
I do remember you from, was it last week that you called in? And I sang an anniversary song? An anniversary song for you?
Yes, you did. You have a very good memory.
Yeah, I remember.
Did you have a good birthday?
I did. Well, it was a pretty fun time. I had company from out of state that was a lot of fun. And they kept me hopping, they kept me jumping, and I, you know, otherwise I'd have been slow moving on my old man birthday, you know.
You're glad to send him home?
Yeah, I finally had to just send him home because I was, you know, they were wearing me out. So, am I playing a song for you today, Dawn? Or?
Well, Brian, why I was calling is I was thanking you for the gift that you gave Karen to bring home to me.
Okay. It was.
You remember what they are? The cameras?
Oh yeah, yeah. My dad had a lot of those old film.
Well, I
cameras.
Wanted to thank you for them.
Well, that's very nice of you.
And I have my friend here. I have my friend here. Her name is Penny.
Penny?
Hi, Brian.
Hi.
Hi, Brian.
In Penny Lane, there is a barber showing photographs of every head he's had the pleasure to have known. Penny Lane, and there's a Lionel Richie song too that goes, Penny lover, won't you walk on by? Remember that one?
Penny lover,
don't you make me cry?
Stand famous.
Yeah, you are famous. Now
I'm on the radio, I'm even more famous.
There was a store called Penny's for a long time that I used to enjoy going to. Was that you?
No, it's spelled just a little differently.
Oh.
I wish it were.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What are you guys doing today?
Well, we were taking an emergency break here, but unfortunately our boss just caught us screwing around. So we got an evil eye over here.
I didn't understand any of that. Was it funny?
My boss just caught us screwing around.
Oh, you're at work again. Okay, yeah.
Well, of course. That's the only time I can call you.
And I heard you don't have the radio turned down there because I heard my echo of myself there in the background. But anyway, that's nice of you to call and nice of you to thank me for those Canon cameras. I don't know if they're worth anything, but I wasn't going to use them, so I...
No, I like them. the manual camera is a lot better than the digital one, but that's just my preference. But I do appreciate the gift, and I just wanted to call and say thank you. Yeah, and
maybe we'll meet up one of these days.
Yep.
All right. And nice meeting you, Penny. Go back to work.
Well, happy belated birthday.
Yeah. You guys go back to work and stop this messing around.
Bye. Bye, Brian.
Bye. I found, you know, this is an odd thing. You know, Mitch Hank, he's my mentor. I kind of got into this podcasting thing through a couple of appearances on Mitch Hank's radio show. And so I learned things from Mitch quite often. And I was surprised to see this book in here in the studio today. Can you probably can't read that, but it says, and this is a book, obviously, that Mitch brought or had here, Enjoying Hummingbirds More.
More.
I mean, I don't know how you could enjoy them more than I do, but apparently you can enjoy them more. It just made me think that, you know, I have hummingbird feeders outside my kitchen window. We're going to go to a break here pretty soon, but I filled them up recently with the hummingbird food, and I haven't had very many hummingbirds. I think they might have left and headed south for the winter already. But which starts you thinking, how can this bird that's a cross between a bug and a bird and flaps its wings 300 times a second, how in the world can they fly from Wisconsin like to Guatemala or Bolivia or wherever they spend their winters? They have to flap their wings billions of times. I mean, and have to probably eat their body weight 5-6 times over. What would you say? Yeah. How do they do it? And hummingbirds, and they're very cool. And my feeders are a lot of fun. They're right outside my kitchen window, and they zip up there and they stop and they hover, you know, and you get to look at them pretty good. But I don't know that I can enjoy them any more, Mitch, than I do. So the book doesn't do a thing for us. We got a phone call here. It's not for me. It's bill collectors. I understand. But my son Rob is here. My oldest son, he got away from the storm, he played it safe, and got away from Hurricane Irma, and then is one of the very, very, very few places in Florida, seemingly, that has almost been completely unaffected. You still have to be careful, and boy, the worst thing that can happen now with these storms is that a Category 5 comes along again, and now they say, well, that last one wasn't anything, so let's not evacuate, you know. But anyway, it's the Brian Beebe Show on MadisonTalks.com, on Facebook Live. Call us, 210-1667, while the swinging blue jeans give us the hippie shake. All right, we'll be right back.
MadisonTalks.com is the home of Madison's most creative talk radio. If you have a serious gift of gab, you have stories to share, political, social, or religious positions to express, contact Madison Talks to have your own 60-minute weekly podcast recorded and posted for the world to hear. Have a new book to promote? Madison Talks is the ideal place to promote it. Fly solo or line up guests for your weekly live talk session. When your 60-minute program is finished live streaming, it'll be posted as a podcast to MadisonTalks.com for listening 24/7. Take your message to the world with MadisonTalks.com. Call 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. That's 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. MadisonTalks.com. Looking for your creative commentary. You're listening to MadisonTalks.com, stimulating conversation on a variety of subjects and issues that matter. Share your questions, comments, or answers with us at 608-210-1667. Now here's your host on MadisonTalks.com.
Florida. All right, man. Are we back at it? All right. Brian Beebe here, brought to you once again by Monk's Bar and Grill and Sorrento's at the Wilderness. And we're talking about a number of different things. And I'm going to play some requests on my keyboard here. But I've got my son here, Rob was our firstborn. He was born in Scotland, by the way. Interesting story. So his mother was born in Scotland, and their roots are kind of there. But when he was 4 years old, we moved to Florida, and we spent all his school years. We come up to the Dells in the summertime every year, but we spent all his school years down in the St. Petersburg area of Florida on the Gulf Coast side. And he and I were talking in the car on the way here. It was a wonderful place to grow up multiculturally. Up here, north of here, up in the Dells where we spent most of our summers, it's pretty hard to find anybody of another race. You know, they're pretty much white-ish or Mexican, lots of Mexicans and Latin people now. But down there, I remember he had kids who were friends who were Oriental and Black and Mexican. And I'm going to tell a story that and then ask him a couple of questions. But I remember one time we were over at the park across from the townhouse where they lived. And we were playing basketball. It was a nice park with a lot of facilities for kids to play. And I left, and he stayed and kept shooting. Pretty soon there was three, four, or five Black kids came and were hanging around the court, all got in the game. And now it was Rob and four or five Black guys playing basketball. And it just, nobody thought much of it. Do you know what I mean? It was really cool to see that, because he didn't run off because all of a sudden it was all Black kids there, and they didn't throw him out of the game because he was white. You know, it was a really cool area to grow up in. And there weren't any girls, though. Were there girls, Ron?
There was plenty of girls.
Oh, there was plenty of girls. Okay. But I remember you had an Oriental friend, real young, down there, named G.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a fun kid. And then we got the kids, both of the kids, involved in tennis and sports, soccer, very, very early. Rob was one of the very youngest head coach of a soccer team in Southside Soccer when he was a young kid. He was only 16 years old, and he coached a 12-year-old team. And it was a little tough for him at first, because he was kind of buds with the kids. It was his brother's team and his brother's friends, and they didn't always pay attention to him. But what did you, how do you respond to somebody who says, well, you know, you grew up with people of all different types and cultures and colors, and do you think it's been helpful?
I think so. I think when you're growing up in it, you don't even realize it's happening until
you look back
or you talk to somebody that's not from that kind of situation.
Yeah. I went to Harlem High School. My high school was called Harlem High School. We had 2,000 kids. And you would think there would have been some Black kids in Harlem High School. We had three, you know, in the whole school. So, I mean, it was a little hard to, in Rockford nearby. We lived in Les Park, and Rockford nearby was very, very the opposite. Right. We were kind of way too white, and they were kind of way too dark. But it was, Rockford was a tough town to get that in, and I'm glad that we moved from the Midwest down there and got some of that that multicultural feel. Yeah. You know, it was good.
Melting pot. It's the melting pot.
Yeah. So and Rob now is he played tennis for a lot of years. He was ranked in the top 100 when he was a 16-year-old. Then he stopped playing and gained a little weight and doesn't play as much now as he did, but
started drinking.
That drinking was a factor. And but he works at a nice bar and restaurant down there now that is back open already.
No power yet.
But they're ready to open when the who knows when that'll happen though. They got a lot of people to get
the bar across the street has power and we don't, so I don't know what's going on.
Nice. Yeah.
Well, you know, I think, and I said this to you before, that it's going to be tough to find customers down there for a while, because they're not all coming back. You're going to have a few, but not like you will in a week or two. When
the locals will be out and about.
Yeah, if they didn't leave.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if they did leave and they got to come back, there's a lot of places in Florida where they're not letting them come back, you know.
Yeah.
They're keeping the bridges. After the winds hit, 39 degrees, they opened all the drawbridges. So you couldn't get one way or the other on the causeways where they were. And here's the other thing that was interesting about this storm. If you've ever been down to St. Pete, Tampa, St. Pete, and seen Tampa Bay, if you've seen John's Pass or what's another one, Rob, where that all the water was sucked completely out. Sucked completely out of Tampa Bay, out into the ocean. And when it comes back, it'll come back hard. But there were manatees, these 800-pound sea cow creatures, stranded.
Yeah.
And they never ever feel their whole body weight because they're in the water all the time.
Right. Yeah.
You imagine all of a sudden weighing 800 pounds when you weighed 250 a minute ago?
Nuts. Yeah. That's nuts.
Yeah. That would be tough. Anyway, we can talk about anything you want to. I hope you'll call in 608-210-1667. I got to play a couple songs. I had a bunch of notes here, but my soda took care of them. They're shot. My son is a very intelligent guy. He takes after his mother, but he went through a lot of Spanish in school too, and so we have fun sometimes speaking Spanish back and forth. And one of the things that I volunteer at a hospital in Baraboo, and I've noted a couple of things about the language that's printed on things in the hospital. Quite often has English and Spanish, right? And as the Spanish translation for a couple of these everyday things is very pretty. For example, on the trash cans in the bathrooms, it says, in English at the top, it says, trash only. Okay, trash only. Underneath it in Spanish, it says, basura solo. Now, isn't that pretty? Isn't that prettier than trash only?
Yes.
Basura solo. Huh?
Smooth.
Very nice. Much nicer than trash only. And on the soap by the sink, it says in English, lotion soap. Okay, and underneath it says, jabón lacion, J-A-B-O, accent N, lotion, L-O-C-I-O, accent N, jabón lacion, jabón lacion, lotion.
Even looks
cooler. Yeah. Isn't that better? Yeah, with the accents, it's way better than lotion soap or trash only. So I wanted to share those two things with you. I better play a song here. I don't. You can call in and request a song. It's 608-210-1667. And I'm just sitting here. Don't have anything else to do. My soda is kind of calming down. My notes are drying out. This is a request from Michigan. I've grown accustomed to her face. She almost makes the day begin. I've grown accustomed to the tune she whistles night and noon. Her smiles, her frowns, her ups and downs are second nature to me now. Like breathing out and breathing in, I was serenely independent and content before we met. I guess that I could always be that way again, and yet I've grown accustomed to her touch, accustomed to her voice, accustomed to her face. La-dee-da-dee-da-da-dee-da. I'm very grateful she's a woman. It's so easy to forget. Kinda like a habit you could always break, and yet I've grown accustomed to the trace of something in the air, accustomed to her face. La-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da. I'm very grateful she's a woman. It's so easy to forget. Kinda like a habit you can always break, and yet I've grown accustomed to the trace of something in the air, accustomed to her face. Broadway show, one of those like My Fair Lady or King and I, one of the really beautiful full of love songs type of shows. Mike, have you got any more of that 60s music that you can some of that stuff that I shot up here that for you down here for you?
You bet,
man. You can play Baby It's You anytime you want to. I like that. What do you got?
Ooh. Oh, why, am I so shy?
Cool.
Oh, why, am I so shy? How can I
MadisonTalks.com is the home of Madison's most creative talk radio. If you have a serious gift of gab, you have stories to share, political, social, or religious positions to express, contact Madison Talks to have your own 60-minute weekly podcast recorded and posted for the world to hear. Have a new book to promote? Madison Talks is the ideal place to promote it. Fly solo or line up guests for your weekly live talk session. When your 60-minute program is finished live streaming, it'll be posted as a podcast to MadisonTalks.com for listening 24/7. Take your message to the world with MadisonTalks.com. Call 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. That's 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. MadisonTalks.com, looking for your creative commentary. You're listening to MadisonTalks.com, stimulating conversation on a variety of subjects and issues that matter. Share your questions, comments, or answers with us at 608-210-1667. Now here's your host on MadisonTalks.com.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. That is Chubby Checker, Ernest Evans, man. Fats Domino, of course, Antoine Bartholomew, Fats Domino, was first, and then Dick Clark discovered Ernest Evans, and his wife named him after Fats Domino, named him Chubby Checker. And Chubby Checker had a record called The Twist, which was the only record in the modern era to, the same record made it to number one in two different years.
Oh.
1960, the kids were twisting. In 1962, the parents learned to do it at their parties.
Ah.
Which is the instantly, it's the quickest way to kill a record for kids is to have their parents be interested in it.
Right.
They're not, kids are not into records that their parents like, you know, even if they were cool to them for a while, you know. Since I got my son here, and he's got some friends that are kind of watching on Facebook as he's sitting here doing nothing, I was going to ask him, there were times when he thought that he might like to try playing music, and he owns a guitar, and he had a keyboard, and took a keyboard class in high school. But sports was the whole thing, wasn't it? It was more, way more sports than music, and tennis was all the way along. Dave Bonner, remember Dave Bonner? You guys down in Florida, you know, because they can play tennis year round. There's a lot more instruction and really good tennis instruction.
Academies everywhere.
Players are just better, aren't they? I mean, everywhere. Country clubs have great, great coaches and teachers, and you get lessons. And then I remember this one guy that we discovered fairly early. I took lessons from him too. He had a great big group lesson place on a tennis court right across the street from you guys' house. Remember that? And you could go over there, and for $10, you and your brother could hit 1,000 tennis balls in 2-3 hours, you know? Just hit. Yeah. You wouldn't necessarily get a lot of instruction from a guy, but you could hit. And that's what you have to do to, once you have been shown what your stroke is and how to do it, then the whole thing is to groove it, you know. And as if I can explain it to you, I really never was very good myself. But I'll tell you one time, we used to play a lot at this place on Anna Maria Island that's been in the news with the storm. We had a condo there, and I had a pretty hard serve when I was playing a lot. And one time, I threw the ball up, and I served it hard, and suddenly there was a bird up on top of the fence around the court, and that bird left the fence and flew down right over the net at exactly the time that tennis ball was going, 80 miles an hour probably at least, and they collided.
Poof.
You couldn't put the odds on paper of that poor bird getting hit by a tennis ball. And he wasn't happy about it. Not happy about it after he kind of hit the ground and walked under a bush, and I'm not sure that we ever saw him again. But we played a lot of tennis, and we played a lot of, these guys played a lot of soccer. Let me tell you something. I'm doing all the talking, but Rob will talk in a minute. But there's nothing much that's more boring than like 5 and 6 year olds playing soccer.
No. No fun.
You have to holler at them and encourage them. But all they, they all run to this way to the ball.
Yes.
And then they all, the ball goes this way, and they all run over there. Nobody plays a position. Nobody scores. It's just, oh, my goodness. And we watched a lot of it, man. We watched a lot of those pretty dull young kids. So one time, my other son, Joe, went up for a header. This 14, they were 14 players. Went up for a header and came down and knocked his front two teeth out on some other guy's head.
Because he was 6'2".
And the kid was
underneath him.
But when he came down, he knocked his front teeth out. Jeez. And luckily, one of the dads was a doctor. And he told him, just pick up those teeth and push them in there and hold them. And they will go back into the sockets. And they did. But Rob was in the same league, the Southside Soccer League in St. Pete. And they liked to put him in goal because he was the best goalie the team had. But he was also one of the best scorers the team had. I remember one time he had a game where he played the first half and scored nine goals. Mm-hmm. You know, if you know anything about soccer, that's a lot. One or two wins a game, usually. Nine goals in the first half and then went into the goal and played. Remember that?
Yeah.
That team must have been kind of a pushover.
Well, it was a rec league. It wasn't anything. Yeah.
Yeah. So then they made him coach. I don't know. I can't remember how that happened. But
the guy who was supposed to coach like fell down the stairs and died or something. It was a freak accident like a week before the season.
Oh, so they called
me up. It's weird.
Were you playing that year too?
I was 17. I wasn't playing. I was 17. The kids were 14.
Yeah.
14 and 13.
Yeah, it was pretty hard. I remember because they wouldn't really pay attention to him when he tried to crack the whip, they wouldn't.
Well, at first, and then it got better.
Yeah, better. We hope you'll call in. It's 608-210-1667. Mike Brockveld in the control room with his. He's still got the ocarina, but I hate to resort to the ocarina. We got friends that want to call in and ask a question or request a song. Apparently, there's no Mitch Henk show today, huh?
No, not today. He's going to dinner. Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a special thing that he has to do, and it's important. So this quit. Did we do something? Did I do something wrong?
Got it.
You got it. All right. I could just play something I want to play, but I really don't want to play anything unless you want to hear it. You know, unless somebody wants to hear it, I don't want to play it. Mike, you should bring your guitar in here sometime, yeah?
I will. Maybe next week?
Yeah. If you could read my mind, love, what a tale my thoughts could tell. Request something, Mike. You're a music lover.
How about some Eagles, but not anything big, like Sad Cafe or something.
Yeah,
like
some of those... I only know the big ones.
The big ones.
I only know the hits.
Desperado.
Yeah, those are the big hits. Somebody's on the phone, maybe. Save us.
Oh, Ed Legg.
Is it Ed? How do you know? Who's on the phone, Mike?
Ed Legg.
Oh, my man,
yes.
Ed. hey, Ed.
You're correct.
You came along just in the nick of time, man.
What's going on?
Well, I didn't bring my notes down, and the ones that I wrote some earlier before the show started, and then I exploded my pop all over them, and I can't read them. So I'm flying solo without notes. But so you have finagled yourself... some tickets to the Robin Zander show now, huh? In January?
Is that right? Is that true?
Didn't you? And what was
I think I did.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Yeah, and what were you and I were talking about something...
Diamond Queen. Don McLean. You
interviewed Don McLean at yes. McLean.
I don't know. Is it McLean? I always say McLean.
It's cool. Well, did you call him Don McLean?
I just called him Don okay. when he answered the phone.
Oh, it's Don. So, you're on a first name basis with Don. Is that what it is? Okay.
At that moment, I was.
All right. Well, and
actually, 2 weeks ago, I called the governor Scott. By the way.
Forgot his last name. Forgot his name.
It just came out, dude. Oh, it just Scott. Came out.
Because you guys were that friendly in a matter of minutes.
We were hanging.
Yeah. So, where did you meet Don for this interview, man?
I called him on the phone. He has a main phone number, so he might have been on his cell phone in a hotel room somewhere, he might have been in Maine. But I called him on the phone.
Yeah.
And he's coming here a week from Saturday. He's coming to the Dells.
Right.
So.
And Rob and I were talking about that concert on the way here. It'll go. I shouldn't say this, but here's how this concert will go. Three or four songs that they'll be good, but nobody will really particularly know them. And then maybe a song that they kind of know, and then two or three more that nobody knows. And then Starry, Starry Night, Vincent. And then maybe a new song off of a new record. And then it will be a long, long time ago. I can still remember
what
they used to make me smile. And there'll be 7 minutes of just absolute joy. Everybody on their feet. We were singing, bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the... And are you going to go to the show?
I may. He was actually a really interesting guy to talk to.
Yeah?
Because he is... I don't know how I knew this, but I think he's just kind of a dry sense of humor kind of guy.
Yeah.
You know? And and I actually said to him, I said, you seem like a normal guy. And he said, thank you. Because, I mean, he was incredibly famous. And he's still in England. He played in front of 800,000 people a year ago in England.
Really?
He still plays at some of those big festivals.
You know what? I think he made that up just to try to impress you.
You're mean.
Hey, Ed, I want to tell you a Don McLean story, but somebody else is on the phone. Hold on just a second.
Okay.
Who's on the phone, Mike?
Karen.
What?
Karen.
Karen? Karen who? Is this Karen? Hello, Karen.
Hey, Brian. How's it going?
Are you Karen from Michigan?
I am.
Hi. Your sister was on the phone.
Yeah, I heard her.
With her friend.
And I heard what you said.
Penny. With her friend Penny. What did I say? I hope it wasn't something.
That you kicked your guests out of your house.
Oh, no, I did not. I did. No, but you know what? Hey, did I ask you if you wanted to stay? But you said no, you had enough.
That is true.
Yeah.
But I'm calling for a particular reason.
What?
I need to apologize to the state of Indiana.
Oh, why?
Well, I called last week and I was complaining about the sugar tax.
Oh, yeah. The sugar
tax. It turns out that I had just crossed over into Illinois when I purchased my pop, so therefore it was the Illinois tax, not the Indiana
sugar
tax.
Sugar tax. Well, you know what? Thank you. And on behalf of Indiana, I accept your apology. And that was a weird story, though. Very, very... You know, the 23 cents on a dollar was tax for sugar. Oh, my God.
Sugar.
Yeah. Well, did you hear your song?
I heard my song. Thank you so much. May I request something else, unless you need to get back to your other caller?
Maybe. Go ahead. Shoot.
Well, I'm kind of wishing that I could still go to the beach, and it's too cold here to do that. So I thought maybe some kind of a song to... go with coconut oil and sand and seagulls and chips.
Yeah. Aruba, Jamaica, oh, I wanna take it to Bermuda, Bahama, come on, pretty mama. Remember that one?
That's great.
All right, I'll play that in a minute.
All right, thank you.
My son suggested that, by the way. Say hello to Rob.
Okay.
Say hello to Rob, Karen.
Hi, Rob. How
Hi,
are you?
Karen. How are you? Good.
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Yeah. She always does great, though. That's the problem. She doesn't need me. She doesn't need anybody. She just,
we all need you, Brian.
No.
We all need you, brother.
No. Hey, Karen, thanks for calling. I will play your song in a minute, but I got to tell my friend Ed a story. And you might like this story, too.
I love your stories. All I'll hang up so I can listen.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I'm still here.
Yeah. I told you this story, but I'm going to tell it again because lots of people haven't heard it.
I'm ready.
Roberta Flack wrote, "Stumbling my pain with his fingers, singing my life with his words, killing me softly with his song, killing me softly with his song, telling my whole life with his words, killing me softly." She wrote that song about hearing Don McLean sing American Pie down in Greenwich Village.
There you go, man.
She went down there, and he was singing this song about Buddy Holly, you know? Taking it in Clear Lake?
Yes, Clear Lake, yes, sir.
And,
correct, sir! Correct, sir!
But anyway, so lots of people don't know that... I felt all flushed with fever, embarrassed by the clouds. I felt he found my letters and read each one out loud. They didn't know that that was a song written about Don McLean and American Pie. Did you?
That's amazing.
I told you that before.
No. You probably did.
You got a mind like a steel
trap.
Yeah,
I thought Roberta was in the studio just then.
Oh, yeah.
When I first heard you.
Yeah, that was her. He sang as if he knew me in all my dark despair. Then he looked right through me as if I wasn't there. But he was there, this stranger, singing clear and strong, strumming my pain with his fingers. You understand the connection there? She was feeling bad about Buddy Holly. And this guy was singing this song about losing him, and it was her whole life.
Well, wasn't John Lennon a big Buddy Holly fan? Or was
he was.
McCartney or all
he,
of them?
They both were. And while Lennon read a book on Marx, the quartet practiced in the park, and we sang dirges in the dark the day the music died. And we were singing. What were we singing, man?
So, bye. You got to do it. I can't sing like you did.
Just play.
Bye, Miss American Pie.
Tempo. You're a drummer. Come on. Sing it. You know, let me sing the last verse of that song. The last verse is the coolest one. I don't sing
the... He said the first verse came out in whole.
All at once. Yeah. And then I'm sure he worked on it because there's a lot of imagery and there's a lot of interior rhyme and stuff. But
no kidding.
And there's a lot of symbolism that's really doesn't come right out and say what he's talking about. But this is I knew a girl who sang the blues and I asked her for some happy news. She just looked at me and smiled. So I went down to the sacred store where I'd heard the music years before.
Years before.
And the man there said the music wouldn't play. And in the streets the children screamed. Poets danced and lovers dreamed. The church bells all were broken. Not a word was spoken. And the three men I admire most, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, they caught the last train for the coast. The day the music died. Singing bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. And good old boys are drinking whiskey and rye. Singing, this'll be the day that I die. Singing, this'll be the day that I die.
Got the old Michael McDonald delay there.
Yeah, that was kind of cool. We had you on like a 5 or 6 second delay, man. It was cool.
Sorry.
Michael McDonald had a big delay like that?
He is repeating lines and stuff.
Well, anyway, that was neat, and I'm glad you got to meet him. And there's talk, Ed, of Island Jack being back in action out at the Crystal Grand.
Oh, that would be cool. When are you guys going to do that?
Well, we don't know. I can't say because I don't know for sure.
That sounds good.
Yeah, it does. And
I
don't know why. Totally call for. I don't know why they booted us out. You know, we opened up for so many out there, and then Todd Nelson from the Kalahari kind of got out of there a little bit, and we kind of drifted away, and they haven't called us, but maybe we'll get back in there. You know, we opened up for. Did I tell you this?
Who? No, who?
Casey and the Sunshine Band, Little River Band. Rick Springfield, Pat Benatar,
Three Dog Night,
America, Air Supply twice, lots of big time of fun that was had.
That's great.
You know what else? We sell a lot of beer when we play. We make the show like an hour longer. You know.
There you go.
Yeah.
Bob told me, I think it was Air Supply. He told me about you guys got to eat with them, or was it Little River Band?
Actually, just Jenna got to. She got to eat with them. I guess they
just
were.
Just Jenna?
Yeah, sure. I think they were eating. I don't know if they were eating, but they might have been.
Hey, Jenna there.
What about Wozawa weekend this weekend, man?
It's here, brother.
In the Dells this weekend, Wozawa. It's an Indian word for selling all the stuff that didn't sell all summer.
At discounted prices.
At discounted prices, out on the sidewalk.
Yeah. These are naughty.
Yeah, but they do have sweet corn this big.
Mm.
Ears of sweet corn this big, and beef sandwiches and music and beer in the streets. I don't think you can walk with it, but you can have it in the tent, right? Right, Ed?
Yes. Yep. Yes, and the Legion is going to have barbecue ribs this year.
Ooh! Hey, we got to go, but thanks for you made my show, man. Thanks.
Okay.
Again.
All right, buddy.
I owe you big time. You know, I'm going to. I'll try to get you some passes to the Robin Zander thing.
Okay. Well, that sounds great. We'll make
it
happen.
I'm saying I'm trying. You know, I already did, don't you?
Well, and you know that as a journalist, I will pay for those.
But no, that's right. By the way, I talked to him during the storm. You know,
he's in Tampa.
He lives
Safety Harbor.
At Safety Harbor, which is right by Rob, on the beach, and he went down there because his family was there, and I told him, man, be prepared to get up on the roof. That area is not wasn't spared like Rob's area was, but anyway, I think he's okay.
How did Longboat keep it,
They lost a lot of sand, expensive sand. But anyway, it's always good to hear your voice, man.
Same here. And next time I'm going to tell you how Longboat Key figures in ruining the first half of my life.
I can't wait to hear it, man.
Stay tuned, brother.
All right, man. See ya.
We'll talk. Okay,
Brian Beebe, brought to you once again by Monks at the Monks Bar and Grill and Sorrento's at the Wilderness. Check us out on madisontalks.com 24/7. A big thank you to my son Rob for hanging around, having some of these answers that I needed, and Mike Brockenfeld in the control room answering your calls. We'll see you next week.